Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of The Arcade here on 92.9 Kick FM for Friday, February 22nd, still in the year 2008. I am Mike the Legend, glad to be back with you after making it through another glorious encounter to Sault Ste. Marie. Again.
The SS Ma.
I'm suffering from Sault Ste. Marie syndrome. SSMS. Yeah.
The best luckily, you're not alone in this.
No, no. Well, I am alone in my suffering, though I'm not alone in this studio. Thankfully.
Yes, thankfully.
Thankfully. And perhaps you, other man in the studio, should say who you are and recognize yourself to the audience.
Well, every week, my main name never changes, and that's Dennis, but my nickname always changes, and this week I'm Dennis. Ja, Erdnuss.
Bless you. I'm sorry, was that even English?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, well then. Perhaps you could elaborate.
Well, when I was in Germany, of the souvenirs I brought back, a can of peanuts.
A can of peanuts constitutes a souvenir to you.
Well, the empty can, which I keep because it's hilarious, does, yes. I'll elaborate even further. Ja, which is J-A with an exclamation point after it, is a brand of various food items throughout Germany.
So equivalent to, say, Kraft or whatnot?
Probably. Kraft or...
In this case, Planters.
Yeah, in this case, Planters. Or what have you. But, yeah, and Erdnuss is what I'm assuming is peanuts. And if you want to get technical, I'll read off the can here. It says, Gerostet, or like G-E-R-O with an umlaut over it, then S-T-E-T, which I'm assuming means roasted, and Gesalzen, which is probably salted.
Sounds like it could be salted.
Yeah.
We haven't hit up the Babelfish translator online to confirm this, though there's really no need.
No, there's no need. And also, German to hilarious never turns out good in Babelfish. Ever.
I didn't know that was an option.
German to English?
Oh, English. I thought you said German to hilarious.
Oh,
which
okay.
I believe, I'm pretty sure you said.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to go back to the playback later, because I'm not hitting stop.
Excellent. And really, you have no need. Because we'll just continue on here on this...
Sorry to cut in. I hope I did say English too hilarious.
German too hilarious.
Oh, German too hilarious. As you can probably tell, I need sleep.
Don't we all?
Yes.
Don't we all?
I would assume so.
Don't we all? Though I do believe that German to hilarious could be used to translate the lyrics to the latest song by Tay Zonday.
Oh, man.
If you weren't aware, if you've been living under a rock and oblivious to all things internet-related and people who have garnered 15 minutes of fame for really no reason, Tay Zonday is a man who posted a video on YouTube of him singing his own song called Chocolate Rain and became one of the most... popular videos in a very short span of time.
Yeah, I think right now it has something like 20 million views on YouTube.
Something absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And because of this YouTube fame, it's he's been on shows such as Jimmy Kimmel Live a number of times.
Yep.
And I'm sure he's been on others, though I don't recall seeing him on any, but I'm sure there's enough, you know, talk shows in America that he's been a guest.
Oh, yeah.
And so... The Chocolate Rain, you know, phenomena has died down.
Yeah.
Or has it?
Oh, boy.
You see, Tay Zonday is back, and it's easy to see why some people in the comment section of this new video call him a sellout, because he's now part of a new ad campaign for a new flavor of Dr. Pepper Cola called Cherry Chocolate.
Yes.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
So, naturally, you can put two and two together. Cherry chocolate, chocolate rain, cherry chocolate rain.
He has a new updated version of Chocolate Rain called Cherry Chocolate Rain, which is check his new video on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search up Cherry Chocolate Rain. He's got his own, you know, channel, I believe, or his own profile, or what have you. It'll be the first one to pop up. It's a 3-minute music video. It's a legit music video.
Like, it's actually directed by legitimate people, and it features a rapper named Mr. Johnson.
There's more production value in this music video than in some other music videos I've seen.
Yes.
Which, wow.
Yeah. But I think it's hilarious because he makes all the jokes everyone makes about him. In the video.
He is so able to laugh at himself.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He knows that this is his 15 minutes of fame.
Yes.
He can't take it seriously.
You know, if someone handed you... If Dr. Pepper came up to you and said, "Hey, we like X video of you on YouTube. Here's any amount of money. Do an ad campaign with us." Would you honestly say no?
You would have no reason to say no.
No, I want to stay true to my beliefs and not sell out. You posted one video on a website and you got millions of views. You're a cultural phenomenon now. You've already basically sold out. Sorry. Might as well get something out of it. In this case, money and being in a Dr. Pepper ad campaign. Who can say that?
Not only does the video, you know, lampoon him and his song Chocolate Rain, also seems to, you know, take a few stabs at the generic rap video stereotypes.
Yeah, it really does.
They're all in there. You know, the bling, the sunglasses, the
grills.
Tay Zonday wears grills in this video. If you need any more reason to see this video, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I don't... Just go on YouTube and type in Cherry Chocolate Rain.
And the best part, as with his previous efforts, he has the lyrics to the song on the side.
Yes, on his sidebar.
And he has all the credits, too. You know, the director, the production company.
A link to drpepper.com.
I'm sure that was part of the contract, and I can't blame him.
No.
But, yeah... Don't know if this is going to be part of, you know, an actual 30-second spot on TV. Hopefully.
Yeah.
This seems to be a new campaign for a new flavor for chocolate or cherry chocolate Diet Dr. Pepper. Almost screwed it up. But, yeah. I don't think that's a flavor that's available here in Canada. Don't know for sure because this is a new deal.
Yeah, but check it out.
Yep.
It's definitely worth a shot. And if you haven't seen the original, definitely see the original. See what all the fuss is about.
Just so you can understand where we're coming from and where, you know, millions of people, what millions of other people have participated in, and really you should as well.
Yes, and so when someone says, "I move away from the mic to breathe in," you'll actually know that they're being funny.
Instead of just making a factual statement.
It's like, what mic? Oh.
Instead of being the joke killer that, unfortunately, you presently are.
Yes.
Educate yourself. Go to YouTube, search up Cherry Chocolate Rain. Now that we've shilled for Tay Zonday.
Oh, boy, I never thought I'd ever do that.
And Dr. Pepper, as they are now intrinsically linked.
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't really like Dr. Pepper.
I can't say I'm against it, but it's not my personal favorite. It's not bad. But hey, we'll move along to something that we are fans of. That is the Ludicrous Leadoffs.
Yes. Every week we have two of them.
two stories that are just at a little bit above the rest of the news of
yes,
the week.
A cut above. This first one definitely lives up to that. David Jenkins of Gamasutra.com lets us know that reports emerged last month that the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida has begun testing an interactive tour guide designed for use only with the Nintendo DS. In Japan, the console has been used by a number of organizations as an interactive guide at museums, art galleries, and amusement parks. According to fan website wdwmagic.com, the Disney Magic Connection System has already begun trials with a scan of the instruction guide appearing online. As the website points out, during 2007, the Walt Disney World Resort already offered customized downloadable content for the DS at its Pirates of the Caribbean ride, although this new system is far more complex. The system offers wireless downloads that include interactive maps, indications of wait times for rides around the resorts, menus at restaurants, characters in parades, and other dynamic information. A number of exclusive minigames are also made available for download. The website, WDWMagic.com, speculates that full public rollout of the system could begin in the next few months, although makes no mention of uses of the same technology at other Disney resorts.
And just when you thought the DS was only for gaming.
Or training your brain. In minutes a day.
Thank you.
The only two uses of the DS, playing video games.
And training your brain.
Training your brain. No, no, now it's a tour guide.
Now it's a tour guide. Now it's got three uses.
Yes, three. Only, what a useless piece of crap. Only three uses. What a waste of money. I like how you can actually brush off anything with that logic. Psh, look at that guitar over there. You can only do one thing with it. Playing music. What else can you do with it?
It's true. It doesn't make a very good table. You can't, you know, cut potatoes with it. That's my gauge of how useful it is.
Look at that crappy potato cutter. You can only cut potatoes with it. When I tried cutting through this wood, nothing. What a piece of crap.
Is that really necessary?
No, it's not, and that's why I'm saying it.
Do you have some vendetta against, you know, materialistic items?
No.
Or items which bring pleasure into people's lives?
No.
That's what I thought.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. But,
A neat idea, though.
Yeah, a neat idea.
We somewhat saw something like this a while back, a year or two ago, when there was some cross-promotion between Lollapalooza and the PlayStation Portable.
Yes.
If you vaguely remember that, you were able to see, get lists of, you know, what bands were playing on what stage and when and whatnot downloaded to your PSP, but, you know, real-time maps and whatnot would have been useful, and now we have real-time maps that will give you real-time updates of wait times for rides, which is a great idea.
It is a great idea.
Because I've been to Disney World recently as a few years ago. Those lines can be pretty freaking long.
So I can imagine.
And it's a big park. Big park.
Well, it is a resort.
It's true. That is true.
You're not just going to, like, Epcot Center or something.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. So it's a great idea, but I don't know how many people would actually travel to a Disney World park with their DS in tow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, and, you know, my parents, I'm sure, wouldn't let me bring it along, because why would you bring your DS? Potentially to distract you. I mean, you're going to have it so you can play with it and whatnot. Yeah. When you're there to be part of, you know, the Disney World experience, quote-unquote.
Exactly.
And to bring it just as a map guide and stuff?
Unless they hand them out or something. And you have to hand them back at the end of the tour or...
And if you don't, they know where you live.
Probably. They are Disney. They are a gigantic evil corporation.
You should take that back. Michael Eisner might come knocking at your door soon.
I thought he doesn't work for Disney anymore.
Oh, he's a hired goon.
Oh, yes. Hired goons. Hired goons? Anyways.
So we'll see how well that goes, but an interesting idea, but yeah.
Speaking of interesting ideas, this next ludicrous lead-off...
Also pertaining to the DS.
Also pertaining to the DS, it's also a very interesting idea. John Tanaka of IGNDS.com lets us know that the DS may be capable of connecting to Wi-Fi for cooperative play and data transfers over long distance, but the folks at Treasure have decided to take a markedly different approach to get players connected for Bangai-O, the upcoming DS remake of the classic N64 and Dreamcast shooter. ESP, the game's Japanese publisher, revealed today that the game's sound load function, they revealed today the game's sound load functionality, which will let players exchange user-created levels. The game converts your level data to audio form, and when played back, the audio can be picked up by another DS and converted back into level data. The technique can also be used to transfer replay data in high scores. You won't need a DS to connect with friends this way, and any audio recording or playback device will work. With a PC, for instance, you can hook up your DS via a standard headphone wire and capturing an audio file for your level data, which you can then publish for all to download and play. In Japan, ESP is planning to use the soundboard feature to hold original map creation contests, rewarding the best budding level designers with prizes. And I realized I switched between data and data a couple times there.
These things happen.
Strange, the English language.
These things happen.
A cruel mistress. But, sound to hold level information.
And then transmit that information to another user's DS.
Using only speakers as the loading option.
Speakers and the microphone, really, because if you're playing the audio through your DS, it's going through the speakers and has to go through a microphone.
Or if you're playing the audio through your computer into your DS, or
true,
your MP3 player's headphones into your friend's DS.
A very creative idea.
I'd say it's innovative.
Innovative. I don't know how well this will take off.
In many ways, this just reminds me of like a slightly more advanced password functionality. You know, back in the old days of passwords, before memory cards and stuff were around?
Yes, when you'd have, the 24-character password, which you'd have notebooks filled with, and, you'd try and input it, and it'd be wrong because you got one of them screwed up, and
it basically sounds like the same kind of idea, but instead of having to write down a bunch of numbers, those numbers are converted into pitches. And various sounds. So zero might be, some crashing sound or something, and etc.
We don't know if this, this sound that the level data is turned into will actually be something audible, it'll resemble music, or if it'll just be a series of, blips and boops.
Oh, it's probably going to be a bunch of blips and boops and various white noisy sounds. Probably modem-esque sounds.
Or if it's, an actual piece of, music.
That'd be interesting.
You can compose levels and music simultaneously.
Or you can compose music and load it as a level.
The
possibilities are endless.
Then that's when things start to get really ridiculous.
Yes. Beethoven's Fifth. Oh, no! Why was he such a genius? But
that'd be interesting if there was some game or a future application where with whatever piece of pre-existing music, an already existing song, licensed song from like the Beastie Boys or something, you can play back into your DS and it will become part of the game and create new levels and new aspects to the game that you're playing.
Yes.
Instead of just say the Guitar Hero stuff where the new song is the new song that you just play through.
Yeah.
Actually add new elements, which would be fantastic.
I think so.
Maybe, some sort of flamenco guitar would give your character a flamethrower.
Neat.
Yeah, certainly a neat idea, and I think it's a very distinctly Japanese idea.
Yeah?
I can't imagine that ever coming out of North America.
Not really. Not as a popular idea, no.
Yeah, so we'll see how well that works, and hopefully it'll take off.
Hopefully it'll take off. It does sound very neat.
It does sound very neat and very creative, and hopefully people will latch onto the idea and use it for other applications, and we'll see it in more stuff. But that will only happen as time comes, and until that happens, we can only focus on the here and now, and the here and now is really people voting in the gaming world with their money. More specifically, the money that their parents gave them. Or their grandma and grandpa and their uncle for Christmas time.
What are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm saying that I have the numbers for the January sales figures from the NPD group to report here.
Nice.
Of course, last month, we had the numbers for December, and there were some bonzo numbers.
Yes, some crazy, crazy numbers.
Units selling in the millions and what have you, and clearly because it was Christmas time and, little Billy and little Susie needed a game and console for Christmas and what have you. So, why beat around the bush? We'll just get to the figures,
yes,
the standings, and see how things fared in the month after. Christmas, the month after the holiday season.
Yes.
Would all those people who got money for Christmas, would they go out and spend it? And what would they spend it on? Or what would they buy themselves that Santa didn't bring them for Christmas? We shall start with the hardware side of things for the video gaming world, and in the month of January 2008, which was only a four-week reporting period for the NPD group, compared to what they did was 5 weeks last year, if that concerns you at all, we'll start at the bottom and work our way to the top, because this is a very distinctly different list than what we have seen in sales figures lists for the past 12 months. At the bottom, in sixth spot, was the Xbox 360.
I see.
Which, for the month of January, sold 229,000 units, down from its December total of 1.26 million.
And to clarify, is this the United States or Canada?
This is United States.
Okay.
If something sold 229,000 units in Canada, it's not going to be last on the list.
No.
no figure. Couldn't find any figures for Canada. It's just hard to come by for some reason, because these things happen.
Well, to say, Blackouts.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yes.
Fifth spot, selling more than the Xbox 360, was the PlayStation Portable, which sold 230,000 units, down from its December total of 1.06 million. Fourth, and this is surprising, was the Nintendo DS.
Really?
Which sold 251,000 units for the month, compared to its December total of 2.47 million.
Wow. That's quite a bit of a drop.
Apparently, no parent needed to buy it in January.
All the kids were happy.
I mean, it's got to suck if you've got a January birthday. Early January.
Early January, or even just before Christmas.
Yeah. Because basically everything will get rolled over into Christmas time.
Or people will be cheap and try to, you know, just celebrate once and be like, here's your birthday Christmas present. And be like, aww. My heart goes out to those people.
We should start a telethon for them.
Yes.
Selling more than the Nintendo DS, which I've never had to say, because really nothing has ever outsold the DS in, you know, unit sales. But third on the list, the PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2.
Which sold 265,000 units, down from its December total of 1.1 million. Be advised, all these numbers are down from their December total, because December is the peaks, you know, time for sales.
Yeah. Christmas is gone. There's no other real humongous push to buy anything for anyone.
And you know, people are out of money because they've spent all their stuff on Christmas and whatnot, so this is just kind of, you know, the drop-off, and people are like, well, why not? You know, I've got money for Christmas and or my birthday.
Yeah.
So, but number two on the list, second best-selling console for the month, the PlayStation 3.
Really?
I kid you not.
What's about time?
Selling 269,000 units.
Interesting.
4,000 more than its older brother.
Oh, it finally beat it.
Yes, it did. Of course, its January total, down from its December total, which saw it sell 798,000 units. So, dropping off quite a bit, all these numbers are. But number one, again, the Wii.
Of course.
Which sold 274,000 units, down from the December total it had of 1.35 million units. The NPD group, the story which contains these NPD numbers comes from Brandon Boyer of Gamma Sutra, and he says of the hardware numbers that they were down 25% to a total of just around $377 million US, with for the first time PlayStation 3 outselling all other consoles and handhelds apart from the Wii, which carried a thin lead to the top spot. Now, in a separate release that arrived along with the NPD figures, Microsoft commented that, quote, our retailers are telling us that the Xbox 360 is selling as fast as they can restock, but due to this high demand, Xbox 360 is experiencing temporary shortages. We are working as quickly as we can to replenish inventory.
Boy, does that ever sound like just some kind of, like,
cop-out?
Either a cop-out or just, I don't know. It doesn't sound true.
Instant damage control.
Yeah, it's like immediate damage control. It's like, we're last on the list. Oh, no, no, there's just, we just can't keep up with our demand, that's all. It's like, if you can't keep up with your demand, you wouldn't be in last place. That's what it sounds like to me.
Terrible damage control at that.
Doesn't sound very good,
especially when it arrives almost simultaneously with the figures from the account, you know, the NPD group who track these things.
It's like, oh, our retailers tell us that we're doing great. Like, seriously.
I'll go back to the point I made, you know, a story I had, a few weeks back in the holidays that, when I was in my, local electronics retailer in the holidays, couldn't find a Wii. They had signs saying up, don't ask for a Wii. Wii ain't gonna have for a while. But you couldn't swing a cat without hitting a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360.
Exactly.
So, I don't know where they're having these supply shortages.
It's not here.
It's not in Japan. You can't sell an Xbox in Japan. Beyond me.
Yeah.
But instead, we will turn to the other side of the coin in the gaming world, the software, because if you have hardware, you need software.
Exactly.
So the top 10 selling games for January of 2008, we'll start at the bottom and work our way to the top, because that's how we roll.
Exactly.
That's what we do. Number 10 was Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games for the DS.
Huh.
Making its debut, which sold 133,000 units. Number 9 was another DS game, Mario Party, the first Mario Party DS game, which sold 138,500 units. 8th on the list was Call of Duty 4 on the PlayStation 3, selling 140,000 units. Then number 7, Burnout Paradise on the Xbox 360, which sold 144,000 units. Number 6, Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii, which sold 172,000 units for the month of January, down from its December total of 1.4 million. Excuse me. 5th on the list, halfway there, is Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, with the guitar, of course, on the Xbox 360, which for the month sold 182,700 units, down from its December total of 624,000 units. 4th on the list, making its top 10 list debut, was Rock Band.
Nice.
Finally making it to the top 10 on the Xbox 360. It sold just under 184,000 units. 3rd on the list, Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, with the guitar again for the Wii, selling just around 239,000 units. 2nd on the list, Wii Play.
It'll never leave.
It won't.
Like, ever.
As long as the Wii continues to sell, people will buy the Wii remote. It will never leave the top 10.
Pretty much.
I think that's a pretty safe statement to make.
I could see that ending up being the greatest selling game of all time.
You know what? So can I.
And it's not even because it's a great game or because people are buying the game.
It will have to go into that Guinness World Records of Video Games record book with an asterisk.
Yeah, it's like, most people probably only bought this because of the controller.
There should be some sort of point-of-sale survey done when people buy this game, or online or whatnot, if they register their product, saying, did you buy it because of the game, the remote, both, or neither? Something like that. So we can accurately see just how many people are getting this for the remote.
Or just kind of gauge people's opinions. Like, I could see most people saying, I wasn't going to buy the game, but I realized it came with a free remote. So, those remotes are X amount of dollars. This game is X amount of dollars. So I'm getting a game for, like, $5 or something. Like, why not? I'm pretty sure that's most people's rationalization.
Oh, I don't think you can say anything otherwise. No, I just wanted it because the game was awesome. No, the games are pretty much crap.
It's just more of, the games that came with your Wii.
Done poorly.
Yeah. You just get a free remote with it.
But there weren't enough people buying Wii Play to put it in the top spot for the month of January. That spot went to Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare on the Xbox 360, which sold a grand total of nearly 331,000 units. Down from its December total of 1.47 million. So it sold almost 1.5 million units in December and selling around less than 400 this month. Brendan Boyer said of said that on the software side, January sales were up 11% to $610.6 million, despite the shorter reporting period that I talked about at the beginning. The Xbox version of EA / Criterion's Burnout Paradise debuted on the charts at number 7 and was the sole January release to make the top 10, and Rock Band made its first top 10 debut at number 4, making it, according to the NPD Group, the top-selling game in dollar terms for the month. Oh, and there's a figure here. Hold on. NPD added that the software market's rise was due in large part to the pricing of software, saying, quote, the average retail price of games is up 19% from last January, and much of that can be attributed to Rock Band and Guitar Hero, the company said, adding, quote, in fact, the Xbox version of Rock Band was the top-selling game in dollar terms, bringing in $30 million in sales for the month.
Wow.
In 1 month, a game did $30 million worth of business.
One game.
Mind you, that was, you know, the full bundle, which sells for $180. And now in your retail stores, you can get the drum kit itself, the guitar and microphone, so... And the drum kit's around $80. And the box, I swear, is just as big as the other version. Of course, Sony had to chime in about this with a quote because, I mean, they had a stellar month. Why not? They deserve it. And Jack Tretton, CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment America, said of the results, quote, coming off a great holiday sales season, we see strong momentum behind PS3 in 2008 and feel confident about the year ahead. We have Blu-ray emerging as the de facto high-def standard. The developer community is hitting their stride. Consumers are recognizing the tremendous value, and innovative services such as PlayStation Home are all in the works. So this is definitely shaping up to be a breakthrough year for us.
Thanks, generic PR guy.
No, he's the CEO.
Oh, okay. But well, thanks, CEO, doing a generic PR guy move.
He's got his, you know, degree in PR speak.
Well, yeah. He's probably got a master's, if not a doctorate, in it.
We'll see how, you know, if this momentum of the PlayStation 3 is continued and sustained throughout the course of the year. It's hard to say, but if you were to look at purely the software lineups, you think the Xbox has the best lineup and may draw the attention for that. Who knows if this month, for the month of February, the Wii came back and actually regained its stride and sold more than it did. One report I read, though, about the Wii's sales slip was that Nintendo was diverting units to Japan because they launched Smash Brothers and Wii Fit in Japan.
Yeah.
So
I think it's safe to say that it wasn't actually a lack of interest.
No.
So, when those things hit here, it's, yeah.
Only about another 2 weeks for Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's gonna be a pretty crazy, release.
Good luck getting a Wii then.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, doggy.
If you want a Wii, get one now, or at least put one on hold for yourself.
Start the hunting now.
Yeah, because you're not gonna be able to find one.
And Smash Brothers certainly is looking to be a crazy game.
Yes, it is.
Don't know if it'll end up with more players than, say, World of Warcraft.
Well, no, probably not. That's
certainly World of Warcraft is the champion of, you know, having the most number of players in the world.
Yes, that's what happens when you have probably the biggest massively multiplayer online role-playing game out there right now.
But the one thing that, you know, they've never had with World of Warcraft is that some of the other big games have had is a tournament, an online tournament to see who's the best, you know, World of Warcraft player. But if you've been waiting for that, good news, friend.
Good news, everyone.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Emma Boys of GameSpot UK says that if you say esports, massively multiplayer online role-playing games, such as World of Warcraft, are not likely the first thing that come to mind. However, Blizzard, the developer of World of Warcraft, they've announced that it will be introducing a new tournament-style competition to the game. The global tournaments will use the game's arena system and take place within special realms where gamers can instantly craft level 70, which is the highest experience level currently available in the game, craft level 70 characters with, quote, epic equipment to do battle with others online. Starting in April, there will be two rounds of online qualifiers in Europe, South Korea, North America, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Macau, which I didn't even know was a country till now. Entry costs will range from 12 euros to 20,000 won and $20 in North America. The qualifiers will run for 6 weeks, and teams will play 3-versus-3 matches, with the top four teams advancing to the regional finals. Winners of the regional finals will then vie for a slice of $27,000 in cash prizes, and the winners of the global championship will net themselves a $75,000 grand prize. Blizzard CEO Mike Morhaime commented, quote, "Esports is one of the most exciting facets of online gaming today. We're pleased to expand World of Warcraft's tournament options for players who want to focus mainly on the competitive aspect of the game," end quote. So if you've just been itching to, you know, finally be proven right that you are the greatest World of Warcraft player in the world, you will finally get your chance.
Yes, and what a chance.
But seriously, considering how big World of Warcraft is, and the amount of money that Blizzard makes off it through, you know, the sales of the expansion packs and the books and the monthly subscriptions, for a $75,000 grand prize? Isn't that just a little cheap?
Yeah,
Am I wrong in this?
I think it sounds a little cheap, but hey, they could give nothing.
True, and you know what? People would still enter that tournament.
Yeah, just for the bragging rights, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. So I guess, you know, people should be grateful that they are getting that amount, but come on, they generate hundreds of millions of dollars here. You can set aside, like, you know, $100,000 or something. Like, come on. Whatever, that's just me. And you're getting money off the entry fees, too, for these teams.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well,
there's a reason Blizzard, you know, makes hundreds of millions of dollars, because they're doing something right.
Yes, they certainly are. but they're not the only one that's doing something right.
No. Xbox. The Microsoft people have clearly been doing something right with the Xbox 360, well, in North America, mind you.
Yes,
And the Xbox Online component, Xbox Live, the, you know, video marketplace, and the arcade, where you can download games.
Yes, but they are now expanding their arcade, it seems, into territory that I'm pretty sure Nintendo has been planning on.
We can talk about the Nintendo part of that actually just after this.
Yes, but Michael Mullen of GameDaily.com, he lets us know that during a keynote at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco on Wednesday, Microsoft announced a new initiative called Xbox Live Community Games. The concept is relatively simple. Users create games, upload them, promote them, and let the Xbox Live community rate the game. Sort of like Dig for your game creations. Once players create a game, that game will be added to that user's gamer tag so that others can see what's been created and by whom. It's a great way to not only show you have the skills to max out your achievements, you can earn extra credit for creating a game that anyone in the 10 million plus Xbox Live community can enjoy. While the keynote didn't include details regarding game creators assigning achievements to their titles, or if there would be any future options for game makers to create multi-games, that they could sell via the Xbox Live Arcade service, we expect that those details will come in the weeks to come. No date for when gamers would be able to create and submit their games was available, but we figure that members of game developer sites like Kongregate might be some of the first to rework their games for the new service.
An interesting idea.
And it's interesting that they mentioned Kongregate. I've actually been playing a couple Kongregate games lately.
Really?
I believe it's Kongregate. I unearthed one called The Unfair Platformer.
Really?
It's absolutely hilarious and the meanest game I've ever played. It takes If you've ever seen on YouTube those videos of those impossible Mario 1 level hacks.
Yes.
They're basically those levels.
Really?
I beat one of the levels, and whoa, man. Whew. It would be a whole lot easier if I could use an actual controller. But, yeah. It's... That's something to Google.
Congregate.
Congregate with a K. K-O-N-G-R-E-G-A-T-E.
Now, unfortunately, it wasn't mentioned, but I believe... Now, I could be wrong on this, but this is a spinoff of the XNA development.
I think it might be.
Very well sounds like it could be. I hope it could be that now that the XNA, you know, basically personal development kit has been out for a while, should be starting to see people have games, tangible results of their effort with it now, and I guess this is just the natural extension that if you've got the XNA and you can make the games, you should be able to put them online.
Yeah.
And almost works in a, you know, social networking fashion of people can rate it, comment it, and whatnot, and similar to, say, your Facebook or your I was going to say MySpace, but clearly MySpace is passé now.
Yeah, it really seems that way.
And
unless you're a musician.
Unless you're a musician or someone who refuses to join Facebook.
Such as yourself and no other people.
A hush falls over the audience. As nobody is with me in this belief that Facebook is the devil.
Oh, it is the devil. It's very much crack on the internet.
Worse than what MySpace was initially.
Oh, yeah, much worse than what MySpace was. I'll admit that.
And considering I, you know, was initially of the belief that, well, and still believe that MySpace was a vacuous waste of space.
Oh, yeah.
A vacuous black hole.
Facebook is 10 times worse. And I don't even care. Oh, well.
Nowhere to go from there.
Nowhere to go from there.
But hopefully we should be starting to see some of those XNA Xbox Live community games sometime soon. And it's a great idea that not only can the large studios put out these games, people can. Joe Schmo and John Smith down the way can put out these games, which, you know what, don't know anything about them, but I'm sure they'll be able to compete with the smaller independent studios'
games. Yeah, and this might even, I think the general goal here is if you make a game good enough, someone may hire you for something.
That's a very real possibility.
I mean,
if you do enough, you know, good games and prove that you have, you know, skills that can last instead of just one game, which may just be a fluke.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you have somebody help you with.
Yeah, or, well, whatever.
So that is good news for the Microsoft community and really the game community as a whole, because it's no doubt going to bring more creativity and unique and original ideas to
and
the...
more joy into the lives of children.
It will, though, because I'm sure these games will be simple and yet based around the idea of fun, which a lot of the big studios have forgotten. Sad as it is. But one studio that hasn't forgotten about fun is Nintendo, of course, with their Wii and all the goodness that goes along with that. Mentioned earlier about Wii Fit being released in Japan and doing absolute gangbusters since it was released. It has. Trust me, it's done absolute gangbusters.
Yeah.
It's flown off the shelves. No idea if it will do that here, but we'll finally have an idea of when to look for it. Tor Thorsen of GameSpot tells us that on the morning of the Game Developers Game Developers Conference had begun to shift into high gear, Nintendo stole some of the thunder surrounding the anticipated announcements from Microsoft. Nintendo announced release dates for two of its most anticipated projects for its widely successful Wii console, those being Wii Fit and Wii Wear. According to the Japanese game giant's U.S. arm, Nintendo of America, Wii Fit will go on sale across North America on May 19th, which is roughly a few weeks later than what goes on when it goes on in Europe, because the U.K. and Europe get it on April 25th. The game, which has not yet been officially priced, will have players engage in exercise-like activities, including yoga and low-impact calisthenics, via its balance board peripheral. Players can track their health and exercise progress through a new Wii Fit channel, which will launch alongside the game. Despite some debate about how exactly how much exercise the game will actually entail, Wii Fit has sold over 1.4 million units in Japan to date, much to the pleasure of Nintendo president Satoru Iwata. Nintendo also said that third-party publishers are already working on games which use the balance board, such as Namco Bandai's snow sports title Family Ski. In an article printed Wednesday morning, the Wall Street Journal has confirmed that the game, which is already available in Japan, is coming to the U.S. later this year. Of course, speaking of the Namco Bandai Family Ski game, which is meant to use the balance board. Of course, 1 week before Wii Fit sparks another retail run on the still-hard-to-find console, Nintendo will launch its eagerly anticipated WiiWare channel. The channel will offer a series of all-new games developed by both independent developers, such as Frontier's Lost Winds, and major publishers, such as Square Enix's, or Squeenix's, fantasy monarch lifestyle sim called Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles: My Life as a King. Though the WiiWare toolset has remained largely out of the public's eye, Nintendo of America is playing up how its, quote, combination of low development barriers and unique game experiences found only on Wii should enable developers to try new ideas with lower risk in a quicker, more creative, and affordable way, end quote. So in response to the Xbox Live Arcade, which has been a great platform for smaller games and whatnot, the most notable being Geometry Wars, which got so popular on that it was a tangible game release, box and all, the PlayStation Network as well, which Sony has, Nintendo finally getting into the game with WiiWare, and apparently in one other article I read with a company that's working on developing games for WiiWare, there's apparently 100 plus games that are in development for WiiWare.
Well, that's a good instant library.
That they won't all be available at once, obviously, because that would just completely choke the system of downloads.
Well, hopefully Nintendo releases some kind of hard drive peripheral.
And this is when we start to get to the issue of, will they release a hard drive peripheral or even some sort of patch which will allow you to use a USB hard drive?
Or if they're purchasable games, do you have to keep purchasing them if you run out of space, or will it remain on your account? Or
that's a good question. The Wii is hamstrung with a small amount of internal memory.
Yeah, it's not very much memory.
No, it's really not. And considering games like Guitar Hero and eventually Rock Band and others will want to use downloadable content, which will take up space on your internal drive. Now, these games, you just don't know. It also remains to be seen just how big these games will be in terms of file size.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of the few restrictions, because apparently Nintendo has been very lenient and very open to new ideas and new approaches with developers working with WiiWare, I'm sure they've got a file size restriction.
Probably.
A, for downloading time, and B, for storage space.
Yeah, storage space and, server space and server bandwidth, etc. Nintendo doesn't want some game to come out that's just amazing and to, throttle their server crazily.
Exactly.
When everyone wants to download this 1 gigabyte file.
Now, mind you, you're going to have to pay for, the games through your Wii points or credit card, which I almost called Wii credit card.
Your Wii credit card.
I'm sure there's a banking company working on that.
Oh, probably.
Well, yeah. But you will have to, don't know if you'll have to pay for all of them. I'm sure there'll be a few free downloads.
Probably.
Especially when it goes, first goes to launch.
Yeah.
You gotta think there's gotta be a few just to entice you and be like, well, if you like this, try these other ones, which are, they cost you, but
yeah, don't worry, we'll be keeping our eyes peeled for the free stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
But
something that's not going to be free is a new Guitar Hero game.
No, it won't.
As it's now owned by Activision, you can expect to pay.
Exactly. Emma Boys of GameSpot UK brings this story to us. She lets us know that months after the cat first got out of the bag, Activision last week confirmed, Aerosmith will be the first band to get a Guitar Hero game all to themselves. Titled, unsurprisingly, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, the game is the first of the upcoming editions in the Rhythm series promised during Activision's investor call last week to become reality. Guitar Hero Aerosmith will follow the career of the band from its first gig to playing packed-out stadiums at the height of its fame and will feature a bounty of classic Aerosmith tracks, along with tracks from bands and artists that have performed with Aerosmith or were an inspiration to the band. Real-life Aerosmith guitar legend Joe Perry commented, and I quote, "It's great for rock since the record companies are struggling to make sense of how things are changing. Fans want to get and experience music in new formats, and there are going to be some of them who will play the game, then pick up the guitar for real and start bands." Guitar Hero Aerosmith is coming to the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Wii, and the PlayStation 2. Neversoft is developing the PlayStation 3 and 360 versions, while Vicarious Visions is doing the Wii version, and Budcat, the PS2 version. The game is expected to launch this June.
So an exclusively Aerosmith Guitar Hero game.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Aerosmith, good news.
If you aren't.
If you aren't, up yours, Dennis. Sorry, I'm not the biggest fan of Aerosmith.
What I was wondering is if this will accurately follow the band's, you know, rise and turbulent times and whatnot, if it is to follow their career.
I wonder if there's going to be a stop off in the rehab clinic.
Well, if there's, I hope there's, you know, one portion of the game where, you know, you're, you know, when playing through,
you're the toxic twins.
You're the toxic twins, the toxic twins mode or whatnot, and sweet Lady H has become your mistress, and so the game, the songs just become so terribly difficult to play. It was almost impossible.
This game, this song's not even hard. It's just Walk This Way. Oh. It's like an Yngwie Malmsteen solo, but no, no, no.
And if you fail out, you get sent to rehab.
Oh.
I would love to see that in this game.
Yes. But on the plus side, Aerosmith is actually getting featured in a good game and not in Revolution X, the crappy old shooter that was always in bowling alleys.
Just because it was built off the, you know, Terminator 2 shooter arcade game platform, really just with a new, you know, paint scheme.
And it was also just terrible.
Well, sure as that may be, nevertheless, which of course I always had a hard time playing because I was so short.
Yeah, well, no kid was really tall back then. I remember playing one version that had a stool.
Oh.
Which you stood on. And I was like, oh, okay, I can put... This game sucks. And I just walked off. But I digress.
Aerosmith, I'm sure we're going to see more band-exclusive... excuse me, Guitar Hero games. I don't know if Aerosmith is a great place to start.
Maybe it's just because I'm not a fan of Aerosmith. Don't get me wrong, I like their first album, and, you know... So, assorted songs here and there, but boy,
I can think of maybe, you know, an exclusively AC/DC Guitar Hero game.
Sure, Metallica maybe.
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top would be a good choice. Led Zeppelin.
Oh, Zeppelin, good luck getting the license.
Jimi Hendrix.
Excuse me. Jimi Hendrix would be fantastic.
Now that's a Guitar Hero right there.
That is certainly a Guitar Hero. I'm sure there will be, like I said, there will be more, and unfortunately, I'm sure there will be, you know, contemporary band exclusive Guitar Hero, so
yeah.
Guitar Hero, Fall Out Boy!
Oh, boy.
Also, I would laugh in this, you know, new Aerosmith Guitar Hero game, if they're not all the original recordings, if they're covers.
Or Run DMC's people don't give them, you know, the rights to, you know, Walk This, you know, the Walk This Way featuring Run DMC.
Ooh.
That would be hilarious if they had to hire other people to do the rap parts.
Never thought of that, but I like your thinking.
I like my thinking too.
And just very quickly before we end things off here, if you want to get that new Guitar Hero game on the Xbox, and you're in Canada, sorry to our listeners who are listening elsewhere, in places abroad over the internet at kick.fm, it's cheaper for us in Canada than it is elsewhere. So, na-na-na-na boogers. Unexpectedly, earlier this week, Microsoft announced that they're cutting the prices on all the Xbox units in Canada. The Xbox 360 Elite is dropping by $50 and will now cost $450. That's rounding up by a dollar, you know. All prices end in $449 or something.
Yeah.
Nine or a five or a zero or something. The Xbox 360 Premium is now $349, down from $399 as it previously was a few days ago. The Xbox 360 Arcade Bundle, which comes packaged with an Xbox Live Arcade compilation disc, a 256-meg memory unit, has been reduced by $20, down now to $279. And finally, the Halo 3 Special Edition Xbox 360, with all its fancy green trimmings, is reduced in price to now being $449, reduced from $449 down to $399.
Nice.
So some reasonable prices on some Xbox 360 units, though still a bit pricey for my liking.
Might as well.
Still a bit pricey for, I'm sure, a lot of people's liking, but...
Lots of people still like their Xbox.
It's true, and now you can get it for $50 less.
Yes. Though,
could be an older model if, you know, certain internet reports are true that Microsoft has put a smaller chip, a processor chip, into their Xbox 360s, which means they're run quieter and cooler.
And perhaps they're not as prone to the Red Ring of Death.
But as those price cuts are all across the board, it just doesn't matter which one you're getting because it's $50 less.
Exactly.
And about this time, we should probably get into the end of the week roundup, where every week we like to leave you, the listeners, our lovely and benevolent listeners, something to check out and try. And Mr. Dennis, I won't even attempt to say your nickname. What do you have for us this week?
Well, every week I like to bring everyone what I call a blast from the past. You know, usually a video game, sometimes a movie. This week it's a movie. This week the movie is a very bizarre movie, one which many people have said, don't watch it if you are on acid.
Which I believe is a fair statement to make.
And, yes, that movie is Zardoz.
Now, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have never even heard of this movie till now.
Yes, some people on the internet may have heard of it. It's a screen capture of this movie has made its way around the internet in the past few years. It's one of the most disturbing pictures. It's Sean Connery basically wearing little to nothing with long hair holding a gun.
Long black hair, jet black, mind you.
Yes, jet black hair holding a gun. And
with a red codpiece.
Yeah, red codpiece on. And this movie is him dressed like that in some kind of bizarre utopian society.
In the year 2293.
Yeah, 2293, which I appreciate when a movie that takes place in the future actually goes that far into the future to choose a date. Since, you know, it's stupid to say, takes place in 2004, when we've already passed that year, or can easily already pass that year. But, yes. Zardoz.
It's, what would you say this movie channels? Because it seems to take elements from a few different sources.
Yes. well, I'd say it's a second-rate Kubrick. But... I don't know, with a bunch of other ridiculous stylistic things thrown in.
Yeah, it seemed, bit Kubrick, part Planet of the Apes, part very bad old Star Trek.
Yes, precisely.
Which I think is the best way that can be described. Not even going to attempt to describe the story to you.
No, it's very convoluted.
For that to happen, we would have to understand what the hell happened in it.
Exactly.
We're still trying to figure that out. We have a crack research staff that is trying to decipher the meaning of it right now.
Yes.
But a good pick. I like it. Zardoz.
Yes.
Best Christmas gift ever. Until we watch Paint Your Wagon.
Yes.
And as always, I have the code of the week, which this week is for Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, the top-selling game for the month of December and January. This is the Xbox 360 version I'm talking about, though I'm sure the, cheats are applicable to the PlayStation 3 version as well, but because this is the Xbox 360 build of the game, if you're using the cheats, be aware that it disables the achievements in the game. If you want to play in a mode called Ragtime Warfare, you collect 8 pieces of enemy intel, and what that will do is the gameplay will go black and white, dust and scratches will fill the screen, it'll play at twice as fast, and the music becomes piano music.
Nice!
If you're looking to have infinite ammo, which is a great thing to have in any sort of war game, if you collect 30 pieces of enemy intel, all your weapons will have unlimited ammo, and you don't even need to reload. Just beware, it doesn't work with single-shot weapons like the C4 and Claymore mines. But the best one you can get, if you collect 15 pieces of enemy intel, you unlock something called a bad year. And what happens is, when you kill enemies, they explode into a bunch of old tires.
Sweet.
So again, if you collect 8 pieces of enemy intel, the gameplay becomes old-timey with black and white and dust and scratches all over the screen and ragtime music, which I'm sure it's ragtime piano music. If you collect 30 pieces of enemy intel, you get unlimited ammo on everything except the C4 and Claymore mines and single-shot weapons, and 15 pieces of enemy intel allows you to kill enemies and make them explode into a bunch of old tires. That is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
But that about wraps it up for us here on this week's edition of The Arcade. You're here every Friday night in all our glory and splendor at 7 p.m., and you can listen to us again in our repeat glory and splendor at 11 p.m. You can always email us and get in touch with us at thearcade@kick.fm. But that's about all for this week. So until next week, good night, everybody.
Good night.